Oh, thanks for having patience to stick with us tonight, even as we fight the YouTubes.
Oh,
but did you know?
Sorry. Yep.
This is Caching in the Northwest. It's the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're reviewing the percentage of traditional finds versus mysteries, we'll be caching in the Northwest. And we can't do that without bringing in our cache counting chimp. No, we're not talking accounting, just cache counting. Some say his geocaching logs are the basis for countless novels. And others say he's played 18 holes of golf in 15 strokes. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, good to see you, my friend. And folks, you may have noticed that we're, once again, two hosts. We seem to be having trouble getting three hosts in the same place at the same time. But we wish the very best to our buddy Wits End, who I believe is working tonight. So you know how it is. You know how it is. But glad to be here. Glad to see you again, Chris. It seems like it's been ages since I've seen you.
You know, I think it actually has technically been ages since I've been on the podcast. So done with travel for a bit. I'm home. Things are settling. I think I'm going to, you know, podcast again. I know. Seems like a strange thing to do.
Well, hey, speaking of podcasting, for those who might be listening live, If you've been trying to keep an eye on the podcast feed, we're getting caught up now. So what you've seen dumped into the feed as of today is as much as we can squeeze in there until we roll over on May 1st. And then we'll get ourselves caught up once we're early into May. So we're working on it. We're gonna get them all caught up. So thank you for your patience with us through the beginning part of this year. Been a little bumpy at times, but you know what? We're really thankful. And we're really thankful for our patrons who have been very consistent in helping us out to keep this podcast coming every week. So if you want to know more about supporting the show, click that Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. And, you know, this week we are going to talk about caching stats. So that'll be fun.
So when you're in the hospital and you hear stat, they're actually talking about how many geocaches they found?
Well, it depends on the scenario, but I think that's generally what they want to know. So
okay,
you're laying on the hospital bed and they say something and, you know, blah, 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 medical term stat. Just let them know what your geocaching tally is up to.
Okay. I can do that.
All right.
I don't think that's really what they mean, but you know what? It never hurts to talk with a nurse.
I'm not going to argue with that. But I'm also very careful what I say in that area. So.
Well, that's true. Each and every week, we do what we like to call the glow. It's the geocaching log of the week.
Dun, 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 dun.
And folks, we need your glows. Mm-hmm. Now, we're also doing a contest right now about DNF Avengers. And this thing is really starting to take off. So if you have a DNF log, or maybe you have the avenging your DNF log, that could be glow worthy as well. Send that in to feedback@cachingnw.com. You know what's even better?
No.
We want to hear it in your voice. Not your voice, Land Monkey.
Oh. I want to hear everything in my voice.
That's why you're a podcaster.
Yeah, you know what? All silly monkey kidding aside, Chris is absolutely right. We want to hear from you guys. Call it in 253-693-TFTC. Use the voice recording gadget right on our website. If you're using your smartphone, record your voice, email it to us at feedback@cachingnw.com. We really, really want to hear your glows, and we really want to hear them in your own voice if you can, because not only is that just awesome for us, and if you haven't sent us one before, you get a glow badge. Cool, cool. But, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more. If it's a DNF log, you get bonus entry points into the contest.
And a brand new DNF badge.
Oh.
A DNF event. Well, if you've avenged your DNF, let me say this. You can get a Caching in the Northwest DNF Avenger badge.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, tonight we're going to read about Limax. Limax is a good friend of the show. He couldn't find Venn diagram.
Is he looking in the math textbook?
Probably. He starts out, I was out doing my annual birthday cash run this year, and I was in Pleasanton Ridge. The quest for this one began exactly 2 years ago, as did Dreams of Flight. I was going to hike up Pleasanton Ridge for my birthday that year, but decided I could knock out the two puzzle caches located up there pretty quickly. As it turns out, I was wrong. After a lot of work and lots of wrong answers, I was able to use some programs I wrote for Dreams of Flight and get within 30 feet of the solution. Well, my solution led me right to the spot where the alcohol containers mentioned in other logs were. But after searching around pretty closely, I couldn't spot it anywhere. Oh. I had forgotten about the fudge factor for this cache, so I redid Certitude while there to see if there was any hint I missed. And that's when I noticed I was only within 30 feet of the solution. Oh. So I began expanding my search. I tried lots of other places and could not spot anything that looked like a cache. So I texted a friend who had found it before to see if he could help me at all. He told me what kind of hide it was and also mentioned that there was a letterbox nearby. Again, I started searching in earnest and uncovered a container. I texted my friend in jubilation that I had found it until I opened it. And yes, it was the letterbox. I left my stamp at home to save weight on my pack. So I realized I wasn't going to be... So I had nothing to stamp. I expanded my search even more. And then when I realized I was going to be late for my own birthday dinner, I decided to call it a day.
Oh, DNF story. But hopefully there will be a DNF Avenger story that follows that up.
Exactly.
And I'm wondering, how big is his stamp that he needed to leave it at home to save on weight in this?
Oh, I don't know.
Hey, Limax, send us a picture of that giant stamp. Two-hander.
Stamp the log. Daryl was just talking on the other show. He's got a new stamp that's only 9 millimeters in circumference. It's a circle. I'm like, ooh.
That's pretty
cool. I have to get one of those.
I want to talk to Daryl about that.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So that sounds cool.
That sounds cool.
You know what?
What?
You know what else is cool?
What's cool?
Contests. Contests are cool.
Not as cool as the prizes you win, but yeah, they're cool.
Oh, somebody agreed with that.
Yeah. There's a strange creature next door to me.
Okay. We already mentioned it, but we're talking about DNFs because of Limax, who admitted to a DNF. We all get them. We don't all put logs out that we couldn't find it, and you should.
Yeah.
So we are announcing our new contest. You heard about it last week, but it's still new. It's still fresh. It's, you know, okay, the packaging's been opened. Contest. Huh?
It's a new to us contest.
It's a new to us contest. Yeah, the package has been opened, but, you know, it's still got that new contest smell. And we talked about it. It's DNF Avengers. Now, Subway Mark, in all of his generosity, has donated two $25 Gold Country gift certificates that can be used at a whole number of businesses in Gold Country. Really, the list is too long to read, especially with one breath from Land Monkey. It might even be a two or three breath Land Monkey read if you could get through them all. I don't think we'd have time.
No.
These are the first place prizes. We'll also have other geocaching trackable prizes available to our winners. So make sure you enter.
Absolutely. So the question would be, how do you enter? Well,
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, we're done then. Okay. So no, share a story of an avenged DNF. So if you're an experienced geocacher, I'm assuming you know what we're talking about. It's you DNF'd a cache, you logged your DNF. You went back, tried again, and you found the sucker. That is an avenged DNF. So share your story. Use hashtag DNF Avengers. include at CachingNW. So if you're sending that on Twitter, obviously is what I'm getting at there, Twitter or Facebook. Email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Put the .com on it or it's just not going to work. We'll reshare your story. Tweet the story, like I said. Tweet a link to it if it's on your blog. Post the story on Facebook. Tag us in it. Just share your DNF avenging story. Use hashtag DNF Avengers. Include us so we know. I mean, the reason we're saying include us and use that hashtag is so we know you wrote it. Otherwise, we'll never see it. Share that with us. It would be very cool. We would love to share it out with the rest of the world. And if you go to, well, actually, I'm gonna hold on to that thought. You're going to talk about where to find the rules, aren't you?
Well, you know what? Now that you mention it, I will.
Okay.
I wasn't going to, but I'm going to now.
I was just so excited. I was just going to keep going, man.
I know how excited you get.
I love contests.
Every entry, every unique entry, will get a special DNF Avengers badge for your geocaching profile. And you can enter more than once.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But you'll only get the one DNF. There's only one DNF Avengers badge.
Well, yeah. That's why I said every unique entry. Every unique geocacher.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going.
Right. So no clones. Every unique geocacher that enters will get a DNF Avengers badge.
Roger, Roger.
Roger, Roger. That's the wrong.
You said no clones.
Well, that's true.
It's Never droids. Mind. It's not clones.
That's droids. Let me say that's the wrong movie franchise, but no, you're right. I brought it up. They're all owned.
Podcast here. I don't know what I'm going to do with you, buddy.
They're all owned by the same company now. They own my entire childhood.
Where did I interrupt you? What were you?
I don't have any idea. So
rules.
How do people get the rules? A really cool badge.
Okay.
For your profile.
Got it. Badge.
Badge. The rules right now are on landmonkey.blogspot.ca, coming very soon to cachingnw.com.
Cool. All right. I noticed, who's that? Udak said, do you post contest info on your Facebook page? I'd like to share with my group. You know what? That's a really, really good idea. We can do that. We'll do that after the show.
I didn't even think of that. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Udak. For that, you get our thanks, which I just gave you. And wait.
For free.
Thank you. That was a whole extra thank you. No extra charge.
There you go.
UDAC also wants a DNF Avengers t-shirt.
Well, you know, I think that's something we could put in the Caching NW store.
It is. It is something I thought about. Started working on, but time has been so very precious lately.
As long as we can avoid any trademark issues, we should be in good shape.
I don't see why not. Wits End did a fabulous job on this logo.
Yeah, he did.
And while it gives the impression of Avengers, it doesn't use any of their style of artwork. Sweet. Does that make sense?
It does. Well, to me.
So I was very impressed with the artwork he came up with.
Nice. All right.
Ooh, I'd buy a Fatas shirt. I never considered hashtag Fatas.
That's awesome.
I found a log, hashtag, or I found a geocache, hashtag Fatas.
I love it. All right. So it looks like we've got some work to do in the merch there. We'll talk about that in our next business meeting, you guys, but that's great. Thank you. All right. Stats. We're going to talk stats tonight. Chris of the Northwest, do you care about stats?
No.
Okay.
It's not about the numbers. That's what I have been told my entire caching career.
Yeah.
And yet we celebrate. Oh, look, they made 2,000. Oh, and they made 2,500. Or Land Monkeys made 10,000 finds. And yet it's not about the numbers. Why do they have stats if it's not about the numbers?
Maybe it's a little bit the numbers.
Oh, it's a lot about the numbers, and everybody knows it. You toss out the, oh, it's not about the numbers, just to make those people who don't have numbers feel good. Come on, admit it. That's what you're doing, isn't it?
I don't even do that. I just fully admit that it's about the numbers. you know, here's the thing. I love competition. I am sometimes overly competitive, so I know that about myself, and I try and make sure that you know, any competition in the geocaching world is generally friendly, and I, you know, don't let things get too out of control. But yeah, I am a super competitive individual. And so when it comes to geocaching, it is definitely about the numbers, but it is about the numbers as equally for me as it is about the experiences. If it was just about the numbers, I would be out doing every like ET highway and every highway power trail all the time and just blasting through that. But I like the variety. I will do a 12-hour hike for one cache.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the right experience, but there will also be times when we'll hop in the truck and we'll go do an FSR that has 100 caches on it because it's a great drive and you get the numbers. So, you know, it's about both for me.
Land Monkey, there's a quote in here. IHAM says, it's not about the numbers and there are pants on fire somewhere.
I like that.
I only say that because you wore your special shirt today.
Okay, here you go, folks. I'm wearing my special podcaster shirt tonight.
It's a trophy. I put pants on today. Sometimes it's all we can do.
I thought I deserved a trophy for it. So,
now, Land Monkey, what I find very funny is even geocaching.com, without saying it, is admitting it's all about the numbers.
Friendly.
You know, Friendly or the Planetary Pursuit, either way you want to look at it. It was all about numbers.
Yep.
And
get the souvenirs, numbers to compete, have the friendly competitions with your friends, numbers to make sure that you finished higher than Rock Chalk, numbers to, whatever.
Apparently, Broncos fan finished higher than you did, Land Monkey.
Yeah, I didn't see what was at the very end because I finished playing Planetary Pursuit when it was supposed to end, not the extra week that Rock Chalk gave himself so that he could try and catch up with everybody.
Oh, he gave himself an extra week. Is that it?
Hey, he works there.
Yeah, good point.
He has a lot more influence in that than I do, so I'm just saying. It's only coincidental that I was way higher than Rock Chalk, and then all of a sudden there's an extra week. I'm just saying that's a really weird coincidence.
Oh, Bryling says, whoa, Rock Chalk jumped way up in the friend league, pushed me to do my own sixth place in his attempt to catch Land Monkey.
Yeah, there you go. And when did that happen? In that last extra week. Yeah. Just saying.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so it really is
numbers.
About numbers. Numbers.
All right.
Now, it's really hard to tell that you're competitive. I'm just throwing that out there. This is the first I've heard of this.
All right. Well, hey, if you're listening to this podcast, if you're watching live, I think everybody knows this, but maybe you don't. So, you know, the question is, where do you find your stats? And what stats does HQ actually track for us? So I think that's a great question. Let me pull up my geocaching account right now. Let me make sure I spell it right so I don't go to somebody else's site. All right. Not that that's ever happened. All right. So if you click on, if you go to geocaching.com, you log in. You click on the little view your profile icon right in the top right-hand corner. You will get your profile page and the first link underneath view your profile, it says statistics. So you just click over there into your statistics and White Coaster's already bringing up Project GC. It is for stats amongst other things. And we're gonna talk about Project GC in a little bit. So great feedback, hold that thought. And Brylang threw in the actual link here. To get to your statistics. But so what kind of stuff? Well, they got your total cache count since you started geocaching. They've got some neat stuff like what month of the year and what day of the week do you usually find most caches. Now, again, some of the stuff can get skewed if you have like one super hot day out of everything else, but it's kind of neat. tells you your average find rate, number of caches per day, your longest streak of consecutive days of finding, your longest slump, consecutive days without finding, current streak and slump. What else have we got in here? Your best day ever, and then it'll tell you how many caches and what day it was. Your best month ever, your best year. And then it goes into a whole bunch of other stats, sort of breaking down those kind of numbers. Then we get into things like your calendar and all that kind of stuff, and that's all cool. Then we get into tracking all the different cache types you found. So it actually gives you your numbers and your percentage of your overall finds, represented by that number, of the different cache types, traditionals, mysteries, earth caches, virtuals, events, all that kind of stuff, including lab caches are in that stat, which is cool. What else? Container types, micro, small, regular. And this is one of my things. I don't know. People have explained this to me, but I still don't 100% get it. Other and not chosen. Why do you have two categories of cache container type?
Well, that's true. Now, the other container typically is something that is custom made, you know, designed to fit into the environment that, you know.
You don't want to give it away, so you don't want to see what it is. But then that's the same as not chosen.
Well, that's a not chosen. See, no, I see other as not necessarily a fake rock, but, you know, maybe fake dog poo, where, yes, technically it could be a micro, but, you know, because the container is part of, you know, the camouflage, I consider that an other.
Right.
I'll give you that.
So, you know,
pine cone with a.
Right. And I think that's
good. Or something 3D printed.
Yeah. And I think it's good to have that classification in case you either you're struggling with how do I describe this, or you don't want to give it away. So you're going to choose this mystery category of size, either other or not chosen, but it kind of drives me nuts that they have two things that to me sound like they mean the exact same thing, but whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll discuss that in more detail in another podcast.
UDAC says, I dislike the longest slump stat. Just saying.
Fair enough.
I do too.
Then they've got, of course, your DT grid, and all your numbers popped in there. And then they get into some really neat stuff. I like this next section. We're going to talk about this a little bit later, but it's the My Home Location stats. So I'm just going to mention it, and then we're going to get back and talk into that later in the show, because this one is a weird one. Some people love it. Some people hate it. I love it. But anyways, I'm now going to flip back into the show notes because I've lost track of where I am. Okay. We rattled through all the different kind of stats.
Yes.
That HQ tracks for us. All right.
So that I really like that HQ has brought stats and more detailed stats than they offered early on. I think the stats page is well done on geocaching.com. I'll say that. Now, I know it's not the end all be all. There are other tools, other sites that are going to give you more stats, give you expanded stats, you know. So are there tools that you use to get expanded stats? Let me say, I used to use GSAC back in the day, back before geocaching.com had nice stats and maps and all that included.
Let me tell you, kids, I used to use GSAC. Get off my lawn.
Oh, you know me.
Quite well.
Let me tell you, Sonny, back in the day, we only had GSAC.
We geocached with a map and a compass.
And we liked it. It was uphill in snow both ways, and we didn't wear shoes.
You're rotten, kids.
Now get off my lawn. Okay. Yeah.
But we digress.
GSAC produced a very nice HTML document that you could paste into your profile page. It was static, wasn't updated until you updated it. So not fluid, but static.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of, I still see people with it on their profile page. I still use it. Oh, do you? I was going to say, I don't see many people that use it and keep it updated.
honestly, it is a bit of a buttload of work, and I'm certain there are more efficient ways to do it. So it sounds like you might even be alluding to talking about that.
No, I'm done with that now. I'm not talking about it ever again.
You're screwed, monkey. You're on your own.
Well, okay. Since we brought it up, monkey, what do you like about the GSAC macro that produces your stats page there for you?
What I like about it is that it's super duper customizable. My stat page on my geocaching profile, I pretty much just, every once in a while, I'll actually update that one. Not very often. Usually when I'm getting close to a milestone, I'll update that one. And I like that to kind of just be the same kind of data. But with the GSAC macro that you can use, and I think it's called StatGen, it is very, very thorough and highly configurable. So if you want to run it just to see, hey, you know what, I'm thinking about going after a particular challenge cache, or I'm thinking about, because not every challenge cache, especially the grandfathered ones, mm-hmm. has a challenge checker. So sometimes it's really helpful to be able to pull up those stats. Sometimes I just find it interesting to look up and say, how many counties in Washington state have I cached in now? How many, that kind of stuff, that this macro, the StatGen macro in GSAC, is super efficient and pulls up all this stuff, and you can turn it on or off. You can play around with it. I find it cool. I like doing that, but I'm a bit of a data techie nerd. So stuff like that is fun for me. I enjoy doing that. If you don't enjoy doing that, heck no, don't do it.
Was I supposed to argue with the data techie nerd comment?
No, but
because I'm not.
we're gonna have a chat afterwards anyway. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I like that, but I want to also call out it's been mentioned a few times in the chat. ProjectGC.com mm-hmm. does all of this for you. You don't even have to think about it. And I think there's another site, and I should have done a little more research for the podcast. There's another website, and I don't know if it's still active or not, that basically would link your profile to it, and it would basically pump out some HTML to load in your profile that would give you dynamic mm-hmm. stats. Is that still
not truly dynamic?
Oh, okay.
There's as Team Finn says, they're stat ick. Get the pun. Only geocaching.com, as far as I know, has fluid and up-to-date stats on the page. It could be my geocaching profile that does one.
That's the one I was trying to think of. Thank you.
Bryling says he uses a trio of GSAC macros to generate his profile page. One to generate the section of souvenirs, badge gen to generate my badges, and find stat gen to generate the page and upload and upload it to geocaching.com. Does it do it for you?
Yeah. Here's the thing. And who else in there? Paul Sanders. Saunders also mentioned that find stat gen. And it's not stat gen, it's find stat gen. Thank you. I forgot about that first part of the name. It can, but if you've got other text, and I have other custom text in my profile that I want, I think if you just do this, it overwrites it, and then you lose anything else that you have in there. So I tend to just run it and then grab the HTML and paste it in myself. But either way, it works.
Bryling says it uploads for me. It's seamless when it works. Now, Broncos Fan for Life says you can link Project GC and it's fluid. Yep. So I stand corrected. Thank you. I wonder if that's a premium member option, or is that, available for anyone? I don't know. I was using GSAC back in the day, but since geocaching.com does a decent job, that's all the stats that I've been using for quite a while.
There you go. Hey, and our research department on the fly solved my problem. So you can move your custom text into a text block in FindStatGen and never have to remember to keep your text on the geocaching profile page. Problem solved. Thanks, Bryling.
Well, Okay, that's it. That's the episode, folks. We figured everything out.
So you were asking about other tools and sites that we use to track stats. So that's a few of them. And BadgeGen has come up a couple of times in the chat as well. And we're going to talk about BadgeGen in a little bit as well here.
Yeah, that one gets me.
Why?
Well, we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, I'm throwing it out there. Anyway.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Another stat that is very interesting to me, because it's tracked, but it's not posted, is the furthest north, south, east, west from home. Right? Yeah. Or the closest as well. Yeah. Right? So the closest, they don't let, because you could actually triangulate. We're geocachers, right? We're pretty good with coordinates. You give us a set of coordinates around somebody's home, we're going to figure out where they live.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it's tracked but not posted to me.
Yeah.
Do you even care about that? Does that mean anything to you?
I'm glad that they don't post, something that's 200 meters from my house, because that's handy to not give that away. But I really do like the whole concept of the find farthest north, find farthest south, find farthest east, find farthest west that they do post. And even like the farthest find from home to me is also kind of cool. So I can always look and see, where was the furthest that I've been? Where's the furthest north I've been? So for me, furthest north is in the Yukon. My furthest south is in Cuba. My furthest east is in Germany, and my furthest west is in Alaska, in Glacier National Park. So it's cool to me to be able to see those. And then, as well as the location and the coordinates, it tells you what cache it was with the hyperlink. So you can go back and look at that, that cache again, if you want to sort of relive the memories of that adventure.
Well, that is kind of a challenge for me, the farthest in each cardinal direction. I always look at that and say, well, am I going out somewhere where I could beat this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's fun. And, on that note of, am I going somewhere where I can beat this and such, some of the other stats that I love tracking, and you can track them in geocaching.com under your profile. Under your statistics, under maps, is how many you found in different areas of the world. Now they'll show you how many you found in different countries that you've cached in. They'll show you in the U.S. how many you found in any different state. In Canada, how many you found in any different province or territory. For Europe, they'll show you how many you found in each country. And I don't think they break any countries down by provinces or states or territories. I've never found any in Asia, but I would assume that it would do the same thing it does with the Europe map for Asia. So I like that, because then it's kind of, again, it's that opportunity to sort of relive your adventures a little bit, but also, take a look and, I can see right now how many I found in Washington versus British Columbia, or, stuff like that. It's kind of fun.
It is interesting for me that the farthest south and west for me are both Hawaii. When you don't often think that, that is south, isn't it?
Yeah, it's getting closer to the equator. Yeah.
Pennsylvania to the east, British Columbia to the north.
Nice.
It was Gold Country cache.
Was it?
Yeah. Which Bates.
One? Oh, the Bates Motel. Yep. Mm-hmm. You did that with us.
Yeah, I know. It makes it special.
Aw. There was some talk in the chat about milestones as well, which is another one of the stats. Which, we've talked about before. We won't get too much into talking about milestones now. Yeah, that thing is its own episode, but it is another stat that you can track. And again, another thing where you keep those great memories of all your fun accomplishments. But Yeah. So that whole concept of being able to look at countries, provinces, states, different places that you've explored and cached and have that tracked for you, I think is a really cool, really cool stat.
It really is. I mean, by far and wide, my most finds are in Washington State, but you know, I have been known to on a trip to take a little side detour just to go get a state that I didn't have before. So, you know, I've got several states with just, well, not several. I've got two states with just one find in it, two states with two, one with three, and then we go five, six, seven. So, you know. But what does that give me? Five states with three or less finds in them? Just so I can claim that I've been there?
Yeah. Well, now you got me wondering. All right. My lowest number I have in any state is Colorado. I have one.
I have one in Colorado as well.
Yeah. I wonder if we have the same one.
Layover in Denver?
Nope. I have the one that is closest to the Utah border on.
Okay.
All right. Actually, it might not. What, I can't remember which highway it is, but yeah, we ducked into Colorado to make sure we got that state. But other than that, my lowest state next to that is Florida with 30.
And then, I'm sorry, you go from 1 to 30?
Yeah. And then, you know, Washington, I've got 2,600, so. Gets up there.
11, 12, 13, 14.
What are you counting?
I have 14 states under 30. Oh.
How many states do I have total? I have 12 states total.
You have more fines in Washington State than I have fines total.
Yeah. I was just about to say it's not about the numbers, but I'd be lying.
Yeah, you know it is.
That's awesome. Well, you know, but the thing is that Mrs. Monkey and I both absolutely love geocaching, and it's what we do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, and we're so close. We live so close to the Washington State border. We do, I would say half our caching in Washington, but we don't, but it's close. I mean, if you look at our overall stats, actually over half of our, no, that's not right. If you look at our overall stats in the, what we found in countries, we have, how do I phrase this? Of our total finds, just over half of our total finds are in the U.S. No, that's still, I'm not saying this right. All right. Let me rephrase. We have almost 8,000 in Canada. We've got 4,700 in the U.S. That's what I'm trying to say.
So you have a rough 50%. No, 1/3 of your cache finds are in the U.S.
That's, yeah, I think that
there you go.
Mathematical sense. All right. Anyways, we love caching in the U.S.
I like,
you like?
Sorry. I like people, but I can't remember their caching names all of the sudden. GeoNav Pros.
Yeah.
I'm looking at their real name and I can't come up with the GeoNav Pros says hashtag take Chris caching. I need a shirt like that.
Well, GeoNav Pros.
I need to get Land Monkey a shirt like that.
There you go. I'm taking Chris caching. GeoNav Pros also earlier said hashtag Utah road trip. And that's definitely, you know, we love doing those road trips. And we're going to talk later in the year about the Utah Geo Tour and check in with those guys in a show later on this year to see how things are going there, because that is just, man, we were talking about it today with somebody, not specifically about the geocaching aspect, but just, you know, the fact that we ended up driving through the entire state of Utah and saw so many diverse, beautiful, amazing things in our pursuit about the numbers. So, you know,
that's right. I have another chance this summer to try to hit Utah, and I may do it.
Do it, do it, do it.
You know, be able to go down, get enough counties to get the jacket or whatever. So I had that planned out from last year, and I'm working on it again.
To get the coin, you need 10.
So you need 10.
To get the Jackie, you need them all.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And I have to say, in the unlikely event that anybody from the Utah Geo Tour is listening to this podcast, still haven't got my jacket, so you'll be hearing from me.
No, that's right. I planned it out. You can do it. Is it Highway 15 that goes down through the middle of it? With staying close to Highway 15, you can get 10 counties and three caches in each.
So. Yeah, when you do that straight line from Idaho down to Salt Lake City. Yeah. You can bang back and forth and get quite a few counties doing that.
Yeah. So that's it. That's what I had planned. I just wanted the coin. I didn't really care about a jacket. Apparently neither does Utah.
Well, it's not my jacket.
No, they were probably waiting for enough to make the order worthwhile. And that's why they're.
Yeah. I believe that was what I heard, but I heard that like half a year ago. So I want to check in with those guys and just say, hey, how's it going?
Okay. So we've talked about geocaching.com stats really quite well. We've mentioned Project GC several times. Project GC has a very good stats module. Yep.
I got to renew my premium membership on Project GC. It expired.
You know, it's one of those things that really is worthwhile. I mean, if you're into challenge caches, the automatic challenge cache checker is invaluable. And really, DPS, that's
awesome. I love that.
Yeah. Those two items right there are worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
Project GC is fabulous, even if you don't pay, if you use the free version. You know what? I really like Magnus. Go pay for it. It helps him, and it's going to make a better product.
He does a metric buttload of work on that site. So
yeah. And we should mention it's project-gc.com. Yeah. We say Project GC all the time. It's project-gc.com is the website.
Yeah, just to keep it easy, we just say Project GC. But yeah, good point. Project-gc.com. Lots of talk in the chat tonight. You guys are awesome, as always. Man, I don't know what we would do without you guys in the chat. But anyways, some talk about moving caches. And Mrs. Monkey loved the idea of moving caches, and she logged one. And I, to this day, am annoyed with it because
I regret that I logged one as well.
It messes your stats up a bit. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but it does like weird things. Like every once in a while, my furthest in a certain direction all of a sudden changes to some state or place I've never been to. I'm like, are you kidding me again? So
I look at that and go, I've never been to Kansas. Why do I have a cache there? And then I think about it and I go, well, maybe I look at, well, now I don't have a cache in Kansas. Was that just did I dream that? Was it a website hiccup? Yeah. What's going? Oh, that stupid moving cache.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's not worth trying to dig through your logs and delete it. It's just like, just an annoyance. But anyways, they're gone now. There aren't any more, thank goodness. But it was an interesting idea. And I kind of see why it was kind of a cool concept at the time. And like everything else with geocaching.com, they'll try something out for a while. And if it takes off, they'll ingrain it. If it causes problems, they'll pull it back and try and make it better. And they've done a great job on a lot of stuff. I think moving caches was just one of those things that seemed like a good idea at the time.
Right.
Pain in my head.
If you really love them, opencaching.com, opencaching.us has moving caches.
Do they?
Option. Yes. Wow. So if you really love them, you can still go get them. If you don't love them, that's fine. We're not going to judge you unless you've. Have a lot of numbers, then we'll judge you.
Yeah, if you like moving caches, I'm going to judge you.
You're a judgy monkey.
All right.
That's going to be the next opening. It's time to bring in our judgy monkey.
We can come up with something better than that. Anyways, back to stats. We talked about using GSAC to run macros, so that was great. Thanks, you guys. That was a really good conversation. Oh, and that brought us to the topic around badge gen.
Edge Gen. Okay. So.
Okay. So sounds like we're hitting on somebody else's pet peeve besides.
Yeah. You know, it's not about the numbers. It's not necessarily about the badges, but it's another way to keep rank in geocaching.com or in geocaching period. Not necessarily .com. You know, I look at it and go, well, I've run the badge gen before, the badge gen on GSAC, and I look at it and go, how did I get those badges? I don't know. And then I think, oh, we don't need no stinking badges.
I need all the stinking badges. I love badge gen. Mrs. Monkey loves badge gen. We love running it and then counting, oh, how many more till we get, move up to the next level on this badge? Oh, it's fun. That's the part of the game where I said I'm super competitive. And so is Mrs. Mike. We're competitive with ourselves that way. That's the beauty of badge gen. It's like, oh, we need to find another 30 multis to move up to the next level. Okay, huh, that'll be, so now that becomes a goal, right? Like how many multis can we find? And it's fun. It adds more game to the game in my eyes.
Mm-hmm. And really that's what it is. It's just a game within the game. And truly, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just one of those things that I'm not interested in personally. Until I find a badge that I really am interested in.
Like how many podcasts you've done.
Oh, yeah. See, that would be important. That's a badge we put up on every show, like 247.
Yeah, there you go. Well, but for you, you'd have to count all the... Gearheads episodes you've done as well. You're like over 500 podcasts you've done.
Yeah.
See?
So there's that. And there I did a few before that. So.
So I think you're at the, I think you're definitely the gold level for sure, if not platinum.
Bryling wants to know, how many podcasts did you wear pants? Three.
Okay. Right.
That's not the point. Three Hams absolutely loves badge gen. It motivates me to hit certain targets. I'll never have 100 multis otherwise.
He said he'd never have gotten 100 multis if he hadn't been motivated by that. So there you go. Oh, keepers of the cash flow. Placing bets on which kid will find the cash first. Does that count as a game within the game? Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're pitting your children against each other for your own personal amusement, I think that is an awesome part of geocaching.
then you win geocaching for the day.
That's right.
You've won.
One of your children and you are the winner.
Cam of Team Finn says, what if I'm the kid?
Well, then you better get your butt in gear.
Yeah, you better go out there and find more than your brother or sister. Or, you know, you don't have anything to brag about. There could be food, there could be love, there could be a lot of things
shelter
involved in this shelter. Yeah.
Thanks, keepers of the cash flow. That was funny. All right. Three Ham says Hunger Games cashing.
There you go. Oh, you go find three caches for the team before dinner and you get to eat dinner.
Nice. All right. Well, what do you think, my friend? I think we did a pretty good roundup on this. We had a bit of a late start, you guys. So thanks for being patient with us. Thanks for coming and find us once we got this sucker rolling.
Oh my goodness. It is 10 o'clock. How did that happen?
I don't know, but I think we're going to wrap up this episode and we're going to slide our way into the after show. That's the one. And we'll talk some more about that. But in the meantime.
Yes. In the meantime, if you have any stats generator that you use that we did not mention, send us an email, feedback@cachingnw.com, call into 253-693-TFTC and let us know what we forgot to mention. You know what? We want to make this as complete as possible and we need your help.
Yep. We do. All right, you guys. So thank you for that. Thanks all you hashtag Fatassers. We're going to talk about a lot of your stuff after we wrap this sucker up. So, you know, want to thank you for tuning in. If you're listening and watching live and participating in the chat, thank you so much for taking the time out of your Thursday evening to spend some time with Chris and I. If you're listening to this in the podcast feed, which hopefully won't happen too soon after the beginning of May, we thank you very much for downloading and listening to this. And we really hope you've enjoyed this episode of Caching the Northwest. And hey, we've got some great shows lined up that are going to come at you before you know it. April 26th, episode 248. Wow, we're almost at 250 episodes. That's cool.
They just keep coming. We don't know how to stop them.
It's a train. So episode 248 is Getting Started with Geocaching. It's going to be an episode that maybe you can share with your Muggle friends if they're curious about, you know, how do you get started? What's this all about? And we're going to be looking for your guys' input and feedback on top tips for getting people started with geocaching. That takes us to May 3rd, where we're going to talk about some big events in the Northwest with a good friend of ours who I don't think has been on the podcast before, Goblin Dust.
He's been interviewed on the podcast before. He's never been on live.
That's right. I've got a YouTube interview with him as well from a few years back. But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to talking to Goblin Dust on the podcast.
That leads us to May 10th. Episode 250, and what better way to celebrate a milestone, you know, because it is about the numbers, of number 250, is to bring our wives on to talk about the Mother's Day special. May 17th is a Tri-Cities Geocoin Challenge with Jen Davis and JD Parkman.
Absolutely. So, guys, we want to thank our faithful Denali-level supporters. That's Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, and WorldCaching.com. If you want to know more about supporting this show, make sure you click that Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. Now, big deep breath as I get through all this huge list of our patrons. Man, I can't believe how many people, you guys are just so generous supporting us. We really thank you so much. You make this podcast possible. B Pendragon, Broncos Fan for Life, Sprouter Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kev MacD, Subway Mark, Doramore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Ackerdoc, OBX Geek, Billy Robson, Nice, Antaeus, Keats 94, and Curiosity Girl. Whoa.
That's quite a stretch of the lung capacity there.
Yeah, I gotta stop smoking.
Yeah, that's it. It's all the wildfires last summer that that limited your lung capacity, didn't it? Speaking of lung capacity, where can people find you on the internet if they're looking for you?
If they're looking for my
lung capacity. That was a terrible segue.
Anyway, the website's linemonkey.blogspot.ca. About every month, or even sometimes a little more often than that, we're posting something up there. But where we're always posting stuff all the time, Twitter, Instagram, Periscope. Follow us, please, at LandMonkeyGC. We'd love to have you follow us and have the opportunity to share stuff with you. And of course, over on YouTube, LandMonkey, just LANMONKEY over on YouTube. Chris of the Northwest, my friend, I know you're grinning because you love it when I spell out LandMonkey. All right.
MOUSE.
Where did folks find you?
There, I got it out. I was fighting that one back.
All right.
Find me Caching NW on Facebook, if you trust Facebook anymore, or on Twitter, Caching NW. Don't forget about Wits End. You can find him Twitter, Facebook, geocaching.com, anywhere you can find Wits End. That'll be him. But head on over to I do this every now and again. It's right here. I should read it, but I don't. Head on over to cachingnw.com/hosts. Read our bios and find all the links that we just mentioned. And of course, we want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. You can call 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, ask us a question, give us a few of your cache finds any time of the day or night. And of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Don't forget that your support helps keep quality shows coming. If you like this show, go ahead and click on that Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. The show's produced by Chris Umfenauer and Jay Kennedy, hosted by Chris J. and Jim Pollitz. The show's licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2018. by prison tomorrow. And folks, we ask you to stay tuned for
the after show.
It feels like Wit's End is still here.
The after show.
There he is. I feel better when I hear that. All right. You know, I'm going to have to read that closing sometime again soon because I don't know. I appreciate when you read it, but I feel like it's missing a little something. I don't know.
What's it missing?
Well, you know, copy
no.
Right already.
No. As soon as you said that, I knew where you were going. No.
No. Oh, so I'm never allowed to read the closing again.
No, that's the reason Land Monkey never reads the closing.
Fine. I'll just find another place to slip into the show.
I know you will. Oh, and you have too much access to the show notes. You're going to slip it in somewhere and I'm going to miss it.
That's now that I'm a producer on the podcast, I've got my fingers in everywhere. I can pretty much do what I want.
White Coaster says the names need to be in alphabetical order.
There you go. He's talking about our patrons. Aren't they? No, they're not. Not even close. What order are they in?
Oh, I don't know what names he's referring to.
I'm assuming he's talking about the list of...
It could be the list of patrons, or yeah. It could be the list of podcasters.
No, patrons. He's talking about the list of patrons.
Okay.
Smarten up.
I think we ought to put them in order of syllables, shortest to longest, so that when you're running low on breath, there you've got to have more syllables to say.
Sure, that works. Yeah.
Okay.
Do what you will. I accept your challenge.
Okay.
All right. So what do we got? What do we got?
I apologize if the volume's loud on the sound effects. Realize that.
Oh, do you got feedback on that?
Yeah.
Volume a bit loud on the recorded things like the after show. Okay.
But that's to make up for Wit's End not being here. So I added volume to his recorded voice.
Now that's interesting because it sounded about the same volume it always sounds to me. And I would think I'm hearing you in the same kind of technology everybody else is. But
Bryling, is that Bryling who said, holy loud sound and music tonight?
Yeah. So that's weird. Yeah. Well, Google's guys, what can we tell you? Sometimes it's a little unpredictable. But anyways, hashtag foothouse. What do we got going on here?
Oh, we've got so many things. UDAC wants that DNF Avengers superhero t-shirt.
All right. We're going to look into that one. We're going to talk about it after the podcast tonight.
Yeah. I like that idea. Three hams in a row. We talked about the 9mm stamp. His stamp is 9.5mm.
Oh,
and
I guess
three hams. I'm going to tell you, it's not about size.
Size does matter.
Oh, it does.
When it comes to stamps, it totally matters.
All right. So,
you're talking about the Team Epic stamp there.
Tell us where you got it made. Did you get it made locally or was it an internet thing? We need to know.
There you go.
Keats 94 says, speaking of stats, I'm aiming for 9,000 this summer for Canada's first geocache in Nova Scotia. Sweet. Scotia.
Or you could say Scotia, but then we'd all really look at you strange.
Oh, I thought it was Scotty, eh? No.
Canada's first geocache is in Nova Scotia, and he's aiming to make that his number 9,000 milestone with a hashtag geocache road trip, or at least by a car rental from Halifax. That's awesome. Hopefully the snow will have melted by then. Yeah, wow. The winter back east. What is going on this year?
I don't know. Tell me.
I don't. That's why I asked a question. Oh,
the winter is still going on.
Yeah. No kidding, right, man? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. All right.
Dormore says I may not say it that way.
Thank
Nova
you.
Nova Scotia. Okay. Keepers of the Cash Flow, have you seen Stardust? Her stamp is the size of a closed fist.
Oh, I guess that would be like what we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast with the glow.
Mm-hmm.
The giant stamp. Oh, I couldn't take my stamp with me because I didn't want the weight on my hike. Why would you want a geocaching stamp that big? So with Stardust stamp, I mean, obviously that's got to be something she uses for events and things like that. I can't imagine.
So you get noticed.
Yeah, but you can find a log you're going to be able to stamp that in. It's pretty rare. Ooh, that was loud. Sorry.
What were you stamping over there?
That was just me adjusting in my
stamping your feet.
Yes. Stamping my monkey feet.
Brylang says summer is canceled except on the West Coast where we get perpetual early spring.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's about right.
All right. Hashtag Fatas Starcacher. I am currently at 25 months. What's the context? Like,
it's got to be a streak.
Wow. That's crazy. That is cray cray. 25 months. That's a long time. That's over 2 years.
That's right.
I'm so fast at math. Aren't you impressed? Yeah, thank you. Anyways.
Yes, I'm very impressed. I'm sorry. I'm ornery tonight.
You're making this a longer night than it needs to be. Just telling you. All right. Hey, UDAC says maybe Stardust stamp was for the Don't Be That Cacher series. Stardust, if people don't know, she's been making a series of videos. Some of them she's been doing collabs with, which is cool. But Don't Be That Geocacher, where she'll basically, it's kind of like Dear Geocache Guy, but she actually tells you not to do it. Whereas Dear Geocache Guy isn't quite that helpful. All right.
It's not helpful at all. That's the problem with Dear Geocache Guy.
That's kind of the point. Brylang has a hashtag Fatas BC Geocachers. The BC Geocaching Association board member nominations are now open. So I guess if you're interested in that, check out their website, BCGA.
And if you're a member, go vote.
Yeah.
Don't be that geocacher that doesn't vote.
There you go.
Does that help?
Yeah. Way to go. What else you got?
GeoNav Pro says, thanks, Brian, for helping me with the links that we needed to get things, make things easier, i.e. Project GC link.
Yeah, Project Dash GC. Yeah.
Project-GC.com.
There you go.
Keats.
Yeah.
Can you believe this? Tomorrow marks 8 years since I found my first geocache. And he's about to find his second.
Congrats, Keats. Wait. That's awesome. No. 8 years. I caught what you said. Funny guy. He's got a lot of caching to do if he's going to hit 9,000 this summer.
Yeah.
if it's only a second.
It,
no.
It really is all about the numbers then.
Keats is, he's awesome. Young cacher out this way. Always fun to bump into him and chat with him. And 8 years, I didn't realize he'd been caching that long. Good for you, guy.
So much for the young cacher idea, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, young is a relative term. So young compared to you and I, buddy.
Oh, let me tell you, Sonny, I remember when I was a young cacher.
Do you? Do you really?
No, not really. I don't. My memory's not that good. Just
go back through the old photo albums and mm-hmm. look at the sepia toned photos of you as a
early geocaching. Cacher. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of all the good ones. You know, you had to hike 6 miles in to find one geocache because that was all that was in the radius of, you know,
that's right.
Hey, I'm going to be in the area of this geocache. I'm going to take an extra day and go find one.
Sure.
Team Finn. Did you know Team Finn puts on an event every month?
Yes.
You probably heard about this already, right?
Once or twice.
Team Finn says, help Sherpa Bob, who's the father of Team Finn, the team, celebrate their birthday. And it's GC 7 November 4 Whiskey. Oh, and I've forgotten V.
Victor.
Sorry. Didn't have the cheat sheet down at the bottom. And
your computer.
It's after 10 o'clock and I'm tired now.
There you go. GC 7 November 4 Whiskey Victor. Nice.
It's nice. Okay. Something we've been tracking.
Happy early birthday, Sherpa Bob.
Oh. That was really nice of you.
I'm the next one tonight.
I know. I went on to another topic. I didn't even think of wishing Sherpa Bob a happy birthday. Sherpa Bob, happy birthday.
Now, since you blew right past it, I thought I'd make sure that we recognized it there.
Well, you are the polite one.
All right. What else you got?
But it is dictated by your government. So, you know.
Yes. We apologize for everything officially now. Yeah.
One thing that we've been tracking in the after show is the young member of Team Finn's grades and accomplishments in school. Now, we don't know anything about his grades and accomplishment, but for weeks we've been anticipating a grade or an accomplishment, and it's finally come. This is recap. I earned a 99 on my essay for not properly citing my source. I put it in the middle of a sentence right after the quote instead of at the end of the page, and that cost me a whole percentage point.
Yep. Well, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, you got to follow all the rules.
Assuming that's 99%, not 99 out of like 200 or something like that. So
99 out of 1,000.
Not so good as 99%. So, hey, first of all, Team Finn Cameron, congratulations on a really good mark. 99% is a really good mark. So, you know, that 1%, a little lesson learned there. That'll help you out. You won't make that mistake again. But awesome. Congrats. Stay in school. Don't become a podcaster.
Stay in school, wear pants, and don't become a podcaster. There you go. Okay. Oh, wow. That's rough, Land Monkey. I thought you were the nice one tonight.
Keep you on your toes there,
Brad. Okay. You know what? We've got another birthday coming up. This time it's Lazy Bones. He's going to celebrate his 30th birthday. That's GC7 November 49 Kilo.
Nice. Milestones there. 30th birthday.
Yeah, got to love it.
Very cool.
I remember my 30th birthday. It was 1862.
All right. Had a question. UDAC had a question in the chat that just caught my eye. Is Cashing NW going to Geo Woodstock?
Two-thirds
of our podcast will be at Geo Woodstock.
Yes, I... Okay. I know I've said this before. Geo Woodstock falls on my anniversary weekend. And so... I just simply do not ask my wife, can I go to Geo Woodstock? Because it's our anniversary and I respect my wife, and out of honor for her, I'm not even going to ask. And she came to me a couple of weeks ago and said, are you going to go do that big geocaching event thing? I said, honey, it's our anniversary weekend. It's okay. I want you to go. What? Who are you and what have you done with my wife?
Sorry, my ears need a cleaning. Yeah.
Can you say that again? I want you to go. So I'm going now. And I'm actually quite excited about it. So the Land Monkeys will be there.
We will. We're very excited. I've never been to, you know, it's not true because I've been to the block parties. And so I've never been to an event even close to that size, but the block parties were getting pretty big.
Yes, they were.
So, but they're not quite the same, as I understand it, as these Geo Woodstock and all these really big mega events that happen kind of Midwest and back East. They seem to have a lot kind of these rotating. There's Geo Woodstock. There's I can't even remember what they're called, but there's a number. There's at least two or three of these different events that kind of rotate around in the Eastern, Southeastern US, Midwest US. And they sound like they're kind of neat and a lot of fun. And I've never had the opportunity to go. So, course, it being a giga, that's a huge attractor.
Giga stock.
Yeah, we had Moga, thanks. Yeah, that's one of them. We are really We're really excited about it for a whole bunch of reasons, but we're also making a little bit of a road trip. We're gonna check out Niagara Falls. We've never been there. We're gonna check out upstate New York just a little bit. And so we'll be in Ohio and have the opportunity. It's I can never get these states right. Is it Kentucky or Kansas? That's right, it's right underneath Ohio there.
Kentucky.
So we'll be able to visit Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. You'll actually have to go through Kentucky to go to some of the side events.
Neat. Okay.
So very cool. Kentucky, Tennessee, if you want to make a little road trip and go south.
Yep.
Kentucky's not that tall. It's wide, okay. Narrow.
There you go.
Big hump on one end, like a hunchback.
Yeah.
That's because it's inbred. I'm sorry. I grew up in Ohio. We never liked Kentucky.
There you go.
Southern neighbor.
GSM X2 in the chat mentioned Jesse Tuttle, who was on the podcast not long ago. And if you check our podcast feed, the interview we had about Geo Woodstock is up. It's in there. So if you want to hear what he had to say about Geo Woodstock and great planning tips and everything, it's in there too. So thank you for that reminder. Next question that came up, are we going to be in the podcaster booth? Yes, we will.
Yes, we will be. And we need to do some live streaming from there as well. We need to.
Yeah, so we could do that.
We'll do some of that.
Coolio, man.
And there's something going on in BC here next month.
Yeah, there is.
There.
Yeah, there is.
BC Cash or Con?
BC Cash Con. Yep.
Cash Con, sorry. That's I'm tired. I added an error.
CashCon will be awesome. It'll be a lot of fun. It's we got to wrap the show up here. But just quickly about that, it's in Richmond, British Columbia, and the event is going to be conference style. We have a variety of different speakers who aren't geocachers, but are coming to give presentations on things that can be geocaching related. We've got a wilderness first aid presentation where you're going to learn top tips about how to perform wilderness first aid. When you're out caching, we're going to have the Vancouver Photography Club is showing up to give a presentation on how to take better photos when you're out caching. We're going to have a botanist who works for the city of Richmond come out and give a class on identifying local trees and plants. We're gonna have a creative cache building workshop that Nav Pros and Lazy Bones are going to be hosting, where people will have the opportunity to actually build their own creative cache. It's gonna be a great event. Really encourage people. Hey, you know, if you're in Washington State and you want to come up for that for the weekend and spend that Sunday at CacheCon May 6th, check us out. We'd really love to have you come. We're putting a metric buttload of work into this one. It's going to be great.
Down here we have to put an imperial buttload of work in, but it's similar.
GNF Pros reminded me the GC code is GC7 kilo foxtrot romeo, so GC7 KFRR
RR. Brylang also mentions the Fraser Valley Cache Bash. That's coming up. I mean, BC is the place to be for these big events.
Well, we're doing our best. We're trying to make it so folks who live up here don't have to always go down to central or southern Washington to go check out the big cool events. We're trying to start to create some up here, and we definitely invite everybody from Washington to come up and have some fun. And heck, even if you're not in Washington, if you're in Alberta, if you're in Alaska, if you're in
Idaho,
Montana,
you know, even if you're in Northern California, like one of our particular listeners, drive on up. It's just a drive. It's only time.
That's right. And we got Timbits.
Oh, you don't have those anywhere else in the world. Well, you do, but
kind of do. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, a gig in BC?
We can dream one day. All right. Well, what do you think, my friend? Time to wrap her up?
I'm already falling asleep. So yes, we need to wrap it up before I make a big mistake.
Okay.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Until next week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.